So we left off yesterday at the bottom of Vav Amud Bet with the statement that was done in front of Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef was sitting behind Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba was in front of Rabbi Huna. Rabbi Huna was saying, Hilchotok Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, the loch is like Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, Hilchotok Rabbi Yehuda, the loch is like Rabbi Yehuda. Hilchotok Rabbi Shua ben Karcha had Amran. That's the previous sugya that we're discussing, that Rabbi Shua ben Karcha differentiates between oral loans and documented loans. When it comes to oral loans, you can take the payment even during the restricted period because we're afraid you won't get the money back, as opposed to documented loans, which you could take to court and extract them. Now, where is Rabbi Yehuda? Where is the loch that we're talking about? Hilchotok Rabbi Yehuda. Titanio, we have a bright note in Samar Litzoveya. Litzbai gives it to a dyer in order to dye lo adom. He wants it to be red. Vitz of shachor, and instead he makes it black. Shachor, he wants it black. Vitz of adom, and instead he makes it red. Rabbi Meir Omer no tolon demetz maro, that he gets back just the wool. Rabbi Meir believes that shinui is koneh. Since shinui is koneh from the moment that the craftsman made a mistake already, he was koneh the item because he misappropriated or he mistreated the item, and therefore he pays him for the wool that he gave him, and that's it. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda believes, or it seems to be, believes over here that shinui eino koneh, and therefore, im ha-shevach yeter al etziyah, if the benefit, in the value of the item now exceeds the expenditure to get it to this point, so for instance, he dyes it the wrong color, but that still has some value, and that value exceeds the expenditure, then all he has to do is pay him the expenditure. Then, notein lo et ha-yitziyah. On the other hand, if the expenditure exceeds the value, he just pays him the value of the shevach. That's because it belongs to the balim all the way along. The craftsman is never koneh the item. He's never koneh the item, the balim own it. But they do have to compensate the craftsman for his outlays, but they'll pay him the lesser of the benefit created or the expenditures made. I mean, that he can't be expected to pay for something that he didn't want, but he has to pay for the value that was created. The value created is the lesser of the expenditure or the shevach in this instance. Tosfos deals with the fact that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda actually have the opposite opinion when it comes to shinui koneh in other places. And he talks about the fact that by theft, where Rabbi Meir says shinui eino koneh, maybe that's a knas on the thief, because we don't want him to benefit from the fact that he stole, and therefore we say shinui eino koneh. And Rabbi Yehuda's other opinion, where it seems to be he says shinui koneh, Rabbi Tam suggests that Rabbi Yehuda believes it's in this case over here where he says it's not koneh, is where the craftsman intentionally makes the mistake. It's not just a shogeg, but he intentionally tries to steal the wool and make it into the other color, and therefore over here he's konesim that there is no shinui koneh. Nevertheless, that was the halacha that we're talking about. The halacha here, machlok between Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, that's where Rabbi Huna says halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda. Adrinu Rabbi Yosef la'ape. Rabbi Yosef turns his face away, meaning that he was not accepting of this statement. So now, bishlamo, we understand halacha ki Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, itzrich, that you need to tell us. Salkadat chamina yachid v'rabim halacha ki Rabbim. When it comes to a machlok between the yachid and the Rabbim, you have Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, who is a single individual with an opinion. The Rabbim, we have our Mishnah, which is a stam Mishnah, halacha ki Rabbim. So therefore, along comes the halacha now, you tell us this halacha, you taught us something. Kamash malon, halacha ki yachid. Halacha is like Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, despite the fact that the Rabbim argument. Halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda, olamali. Why do you have to tell me the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? Pshita, of course the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Why? The machloket v'achakach stam. We have a general principle when we find Mishnayot, that if you have a Mishnah that entertains a machloket, like the Mishnah we have here from Baba Kamo, that's a machloket Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda, later on we find a Mishnah stam, meaning that a Mishnah that has one of these two opinions without any author assigned to it, then we say, that halacha is like that second Mishnah that brings one of the opinions without attributing any authorship to it. And that's what we have here. Machloket b'Baba Kama. What we brought down, the Mishnah of Anote in Semer Letzoveh Litzboa, that's a Mishnah in Baba Kama. And there we have a Machloket. Yeah, in Baba Metzia, a Stam b'Baba Metzia. On the other hand, in Baba Metzia, we have a Stam Mishnah that goes like Rabbi Yehuda. Why? There's a Mishnah in Baba Metzia. It says, Tran, kol mishaneh, yadoa l'tachtuna. Whoever changes, makes some change from the deal, he has the lower hand. Meaning that he has no claim against the other party. The other party has the upper hand in any discussions or negotiations that come forward. Anybody who backs out of a transaction, he also has the lower hand. The other party will have the advantage when it comes to any negotiation. So over there we see, whoever changes. Over here the craftsman's making a change. He's changing the color that was supposed to be dyed. And therefore, he has no rights here of claim. He gets the worse or the lower of what we said before, Shevach and Yetziyah. That's exactly like Rabbi Yehuda. So we have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda after a Mishnah that documents Machlokus between Rabbi and Rabbi Yehuda. Of course the Locha is like Rabbi Yehuda. So why over here does Rav Huna have to come along and tell us that the Locha is like Rabbi Yehuda? So the Gemara says, no, we do need Rav Huna over here. Rav Huna, Mishum Dein Seder the Mishnah. Rav Huna believes that there's no order in the Mishnah. Deikal Meimar Stam Tana Bereisha V'Akach Machloket. So he says there's no order to the Mishnah. There's no order to the Mishnah. You can't tell if this is a Machloket V'Acharkach Stam or the other way around. It's a Stam V'Acharkach Machloket. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, if you do that, then the whole principle doesn't stand. Ihochi, kol machloket v'achakar stam, lema inside of the Mishnah. Then how could you ever invoke this principle? This principle doesn't work, because whenever you invoke the principle, say it's out of order. If you say the Mishnayot are not in order, then you cannot invoke this principle whatsoever. So the Gemara says, no, Mara now narrows that position of Rav Huna. Rav Huna says this, ki lo amrinan ain't say there. So now this is a double negative. When do we not say there is no order to the Mishnah? That is v'chad masechta, which means that when do we say there's an order to the Mishnah? That's when it's contained within one masechta. Within one masechta, we always say the Mishnayot are in order. And there, if you have a stam v'achar kach malochet, or machloket v'achar stam, it will have impact. On the other hand, betray masechta, if you're talking about two masechtot, then we amrina, then we say it ain't said to the Mishnah, there's no order to the Mishnah. We've seen this in other places, Tosafot, Rashi explain, that when it comes to a contained masechta, we know that all the Mishnayot were taught in a certain order. When it comes to different masechtot, even though in the end, Rebbe is Masader the Mishnah in a certain order, that doesn't mean that when they learned in the Beis Medrash, they necessarily learned in the same order that it's Masudar in the Mishnah. That means they could have learned with this Baba Metziah before Baba Kama. How do you know that? Just because the Mishnah is laid out in that manner doesn't mean that's the way they learned it. Now, within Baba Kama, we know they learned the Mishnayot in order. Within Baba Metziah, they learned them in order. So because of that, Rav Huna says, well, I can't have here a Stam, the Machloket V'Achakach Stam. Because I have Baba Kama as the Machloket, Stam is Baba Metziah, I can't learn anything from that. Ah, so what about Rav Yosef? Why is Rav Yosef then upset? He says, Kula Nizikin Chana Masechta. We saw this other times, that all of Nizikin is classified as a single Masechta. That means Baba Kama, Baba Metziah, and Baba Vatru were at one point a single Masechta. Because of the size of the Masechta, they broke it down into three parts, which is Baba Kama, Baba Metziah, and Baba Batra, meaning that it's the first shire, second shire, third shire, so that they broke it down into those component parts, but really, they really were one masechta. If they're one masechta, then you can claim there's an order, and if you have a machloket in Baba Kama, and a stam in Baba Metziah, that will have impact. And some say, Mishum Daktoni La Gabi Hilchot Psikta, that the Mishnah in Baba Metziah has a series of halachot. This is the way Rashi reads it. You have a series of halachot, they're all halachot psukot. One of the halachot that's brought down is that kol ha-mishaneh yadoa tachtona. That, like Rabbi Yehuda, if you take a Mishnah that has very strong statements about this is the halacha, and we follow halacha in all of these cases, and that's why we paskin, then when it also included that statement of Rabbi Yehuda, or the position of Rabbi Yehuda, there we're going to say the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, so we don't need you to come and tell me the halacha is Rabbi Yehuda, we have that Mishnah in Baba Metziah. But then Tosafot says, no, that's not the way to read that, that it's amongst other items that are halachot psukot, but rather the lashon Mishnah, the language that the Mishnah uses, kol mishaneh yadoa tachtona, is a lashon of psak. It's a lashon that says there's no other way to go. This is the psak. We're not moving away from it. So the fact that the Mishnah uses such a strong language indicates to us that that's the halacha, and it's indicating this is halacha, and don't worry about the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. One other thing that is mentioned by the Tosfos over here is, why do you need to come to Machloket V'Achakar Stam? We have a halacha or a general halacha that Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. So why do you have to bring along all of a sudden that Machloket V'Achakar Stam is the psak over here? So what Tosfos is saying over here is that once you have a Stam Mishnah that indicates an opinion, that opinion becomes like a Rabbim. It becomes as if that position is a position of the Rabbim. So he says, we have people argue on the position that Machloket V'Achakar Stam, Halacha Stam. We have people argue on this position that Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Not everybody holds of that. But we do believe that when it comes to a Stam Mishnah, that gives the power to the individual who's mentioned the Stam Mishnah like a Rabbim. If that's the case now, you have Rabbi Yehuda being the Rabbim, negative Rabbi Meir, who is a single opinion, Halacha Rabbim, Halacha should be like Rabbi Yehuda. And that was the question of Rabbi Yosef over here. There's no necessity for you to tell me the Halacha. And along comes Rav Huna and says, no, because it's no ain't seder the Mishnah. And Rav Yosef's response, well, that's true in all, when we're in multiple Masechta, but here by Nezikin, those different Masechta, the Baba Kama, Baba Metziah, Baba Batra, all classified as a single Masechta. Tanu Rabbanan, lo yomar adam lechaveiro, an yireh, If a person should not say to his friend, listen, it's Shabbos, when they're speaking, would you come and help me out tonight? When you say come and help me out tonight, it means, are you going to come work for me? You're going to come do some avod or some malocha that is not permitted on Shabbos. Rabbi Shuvah ben Karcho
says it's permissible.
Amar Rabbi Barvchan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hilchotok Rabbi Shuvah ben Karcho. The halacha here is like Rabbi Shuvah ben Karcho. You're allowed to say this to a person because here you do not mention specifically the malacha. You just say, can you meet me at night? True, we understand, or the implications from your statement are that you want him to meet you at night to do malacha. But because you don't explicitly state it, that is permitted. And that's the psak of Rabbi Shua ben Karcho. So Rabbi Barchan and Rabbi Yochanan Luchasuk Rabbi Shua ben Karcho. That the halacha is like Rabbi Shua ben Karcho in this instance. Tan Rabbanan. Hanishala chacham b'timei. Person goes to ask a rabbi, a chacham, for a psak, and he tells him the item is tamei. Lo yishal chacham yitahir. Shouldn't go to ask or shop the psak and find out or find a chacham that says no, it's tahor. The chacham vasar. You go to a certain chacham, a certain rabbi, tells him it's asur. Lo yishal chacham yitahir. Shouldn't go and shop the psak and try to find someone who is matir. Now Tosfos over here clarifies or narrows this case down that you are allowed to shop the psak. You're allowed to go around because the more people you ask, the better the answer you will get. But that's only if you indicate to the subsequent person that you ask that you would ask the previous person, and this is what they said. So you have to tell them the information that you already have in hand, and then once you've told them that information, then you can allow them to respond to you. And Tosfos differentiates. He says, if the previous party said asur, even if Chacham believes that it's mutar or it's Tahor, he cannot be matir this in front of a person. We have that. When one is asur, when something is asur to a person, you can't come in front of him and be matir. The only way he can do that is he convinces the original chacham that he was wrong. But you can't be matir. On the other hand, if the other chacham was matir, he could be osir, because here he's being machmir, that he could do. But Tosfos clarifies that if you give the information that you've asked others and what their psak was, then you can go and ask other people. If you don't, and you're shopping around the psak without telling them the other people's position, that is not permitted over here. Now, shnayim. What happens? Say Yushnaim, Echad Metamei, Echad Meter. We have a Machlokes, Chachamim, Machlokes, Rabbanan, about what the loch is. One says Tamei, one says Tor, Echad Usir, Echad Matir, one says Asur Matir. How do we know who to go like? Ima Yachad Meim Gadol Mechavero B'Chachma Minyan. If one of them is of higher stature, someone that we should go after because of his learning, his stature, then Allah Acharav, then Paskin like him. Vim Lav, if they're on equal standing, Allah Acharav, Machmir, then go after the one who is Machmir. Rabbi Shimon Karaka says, wait, no, you're not always Machmir. Bishel Torah, Allah Acharav, Machmir. When it comes to a Torah, Allah, then true, you go after the Machmir, because Safik Doraita Luchumra. When it comes to a Safik and a Din Torah, go after the Chumra. Bishel Sofrim, if it's a Safik Dirabonon, Allah Acharav, Mekil, then you go after the lighter opinion or the easier opinion, because Safek Derabanan Nahakel, we always go with the lighter, meaning Tahor, or we go with the Matir. So the halacha, according to this, again, would be like Rabbi Shua ben Karcho, that we differentiate between whether we have a Safek and Psak in a Safek Doraisa, or a Safek and Psak in a Din Derabanan. If it's a Safek and Psak in Doraisa, we'll go the Chumra. If it's a Safek and Psak in Derabanan, we'll go the Kula. Tosfos over here brings down that Rashi used to say, based on this, whenever we have an Ika D'Amrei in the Gemara, then if it's a Din D'Oraisa, then we'll go after the Machmir. If it's a Din D'Rabbanan, we'll go after B'Shel Sofrim, Halach Achar Achron, then you go after the latter one. That was a Psak of Rashi. So if you have two opinions in the Gemara, one opinion plus an Ika D'Amrei, if it's D'Oraisa, we go after the Machmir. If it's not, then the Ika D'Amrei becomes the Iker opinion, the second opinion is the Iker opinion, and B'Shel Sofrim and D'Rabbanan will always go after the second opinion, whether Machmir or not. He says that the Rivo says no, that whenever the Gemara uses the term Ika D'Amrei, it's clear that the Lashon Rishon is the Ikar, and that is Tafel. And the halacha is always like the Lishna Kama. That's what the Rivah. The Rivah disagrees and says, no, that we always paskin like the Lishna Kama, not like the Lishna Batra, because Ika D'Amrei is an indication that this is a lesser or a not as well-accepted opinion. And then we last have the Rabbeinu Tam, says that whenever it's D'Oraita, we go to Chumra, and the Rabbonim, we go to Kula. So the Rabbeinu Tam is viewing them as equal opinions. Whenever it says Ika D'Amrei, the two opinions are equal. And therefore, now we're introduced to what we just discussed, Halacha Rabbi Shua ben Karcho, which means that if you're talking about a Psak D'Oraisa, you'll go to Chumra. Then a Psak D'Rabbonon, you'll go to Kula. And the last opinion is Rabbi Yehuda Shimon, who says that whenever a B'chol Makom Sheyesh D'Bayer, Kechad Minayu B'Shita T'Tamud, Betrei Azlina, you have to check. If the Gemara seems to lean or indicate one of the two opinions or one of the two Manda Amrim is more acceptable, then we'll pass him like the Gemara based on that. Otherwise, he doesn't give us the indication, but otherwise you'll have the opinions of the other three here that are brought down in the Tosafot. Now the next statement of Rabbi Shimon ben Karkai. As you can see here, we're going through many memorot. We had the memorot of Rabbi Shimon ben Karkai here with the Gabay when it comes to Shtar versus Milva Alpeh. And now the Gemara is bringing down a number of memorot in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Karkai, where we pass on the locha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Karkai. So in the next, I'm Rabbi Yosef, Ilchotok Rabbi Shimon ben Karkai. Over here again, the locha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Karkai. Tan Rabbanan, Bechulan Shechazru Behen, that when anybody who returns, what this means, we'll see in a second, then Rabbi Meir says we do not accept them anymore. Rashi claims that these are Gazlanim and Amei Aretz. Gazlanim and Amei Aretz, that they decided to leave the fold. For some reason they did tshuva, and then they left again. Whether it was a Gazlan or whether it was an Amei Aretz, he came into the fold and he left again. Now they want to be Muchzak Kechaverim, they're returning for a second time. So Rabbi Meir says, no go. Rabbi Yehuda Meir, Chazru behen bematmoniot, ein mikablinotan. Bifarhesia, mikablinotan. Depends on how this happened. If Chazru behen bematmoniot, if they're coming back to us secretly, then ein mikablinotan. We don't accept them, because we're afraid that if they're coming secretly, and they're not really intent on making this into a real Kabbalah. On the other hand, bifarhesia, if they come and make a public retraction, or they decided that they're going to come back again for a second time, it's a public thing, then we accept them. Ikedamre, we have a case of Nikedamre, Asu divrehem bimatmoniot, if they sinned, meaning that they had done tshuva, and now they sinned again, and they did that, it was a private or a quiet thing, then we accept them back, and no problem. But bifarhesia, if they did something publicly, if they were, choser to their evil ways, and they did this in a public setting where they didn't have any consideration of the surroundings or who would see them, then far, as Rashi says, pakru kol kach, they're mafkir themselves so much that we don't bother, we don't accept them. Then we have a third opinion, which is Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. This Zug says, Omrim ben kach u ben kach mekablim. We always accept people b'tshuva, shenemar, says in Yirmiyahu, shuvu bonim shuvuvim, come back my wayward children. And again, we say, I'm Rabbi Yitzchak Ishkvarako, I'm Rabbi Yochanan Ilchotok Oto Zug. The loch is like that Zug, like that pair. So that's the way Rashi explains it. Tosus, on the other hand, says that the Gemara here is only talking about Amei Aretz, who are Chashud al Maestrot and Shvi'it. That they went ahead and they were Makabo among themselves, Dibri Chavirut. They accepted on themselves that they will take care of Trumot and Maestrot and keep Shvi'it. And then Chazru the Suran, and they went back into their evil ways. So that's what the Gemara is discussing over here. Rashi seems to be indicating that they're talking about Chaver, whether they are trustworthy when it's Gazlanim, or Amei Aretz, and now they're accepting themselves to be Chaverim, whether it's Tumen Tahara, whatever it is that Rashi is speaking about. Tosa says, no, it's focused on Trumot and Maestrot and Shvi'it, and the discussion here is about whether if they had already done tshuva, and then they return to their old ways, do we accept them a second time did tshuva? So Rabbi Meir's opinion is never. Rabbi Yehuda says it depends, again, on the two lashonot, and Rabbi Yehuda also depend publicly or privately, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha and Rabbi Shimon say, no, we always accept people, we always allow people to do tshuva, and the loch again is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Karcha. Now, the Gemara continues with the Mishnah. The Mishnah is Rabbi Shmuel's opinion that we've met before that disagrees with the Chamim. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Shlosha lifnehem u'shlosha achrayem. Not only is the restriction when they have a holiday of the 3 days before, but also the 3 days afterwards. V'chamim omrim, lifnei dehem asur, l'acher dehem mutar. Chamim, similar to the Tanakhama, say no, beforehand there's a 3 day rule, but afterwards there's no din. So when I says, Amar av tachlifa bar b'dimei, this we saw again previously. Amar Shmuel, yom echad, the divrei Rabbi Shmuel olam asur. According to those that celebrate Yom Rishon, the Sunday, as their holiday, then they will never be able to transact, or will never be able to interact with these individuals, because 3 days before and 3 days afterwards will encompass the entire week. There's the holiday, plus three before, three after, the other 6 days, it's the 7 days of the week. You'll never be able to interact with them, and this is one of the proofs that we saw that it was Heim Velo Edehem. The days that we're talking about in the Mishnah is Heim Velo Edehem. The Gemara then rejected it and said that's the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. We do see that here, that this is the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, that it doesn't include the holiday itself, and there are 3 days before, 3 days afterwards, encompass 6 days, plus the holiday, that'll be 7 days of the week. Now, Chamim Amrim, and they disagree. The Gemara says, as we mentioned in the Mishnah, Chamim, Ainu Tanakama. Chamim Amrim are identical to the Tanakama. So Gemara says, gives now, we'll introduce the possibilities of what's the difference between them. Hein, Bloei Dehem, Ike Binayu. Possibility is that whether the day itself, the holiday itself, is subsumed under the 3 days or not. Tanakama, Serve, Hein, Bloei Dehem, as we were already in Dayek in the previous daf, that when it says Hein B'lo Eidehim, it means they, the days, the 3 days without the holiday itself. That'll be the Tanakama's opinion, because he started the Mishnah Lifnei Eidehim. But Rabbanan over here, who don't use that same Lashon, that just say Lifnei Eidehim Asur, Acher Eidehim Asur, they don't mention the Shlosh Yamim. Then Rabbanan Batrai Sarvi Hein V'Eidehim, that the 3 days and subsumed in those 3 days is the holiday. So it's really only 2 days before the holiday. The third day is the holiday itself. Another possibility of what the difference between means. Nasan v'natan. If you violate this restriction, you go ahead and you transact with them, what's the din? Tanakama sever nasan v'natan mutar. The Tanakama thinks that if you do transact them, it's mutar, because the Tanakama enumerates that ain't no simino din behem. You're not allowed to transact with them. It sounds maybe only l'chatchila. You shouldn't do it. Well, if you did it, okay, mutar, but you shouldn't do it. Over here, the Chamim, Rabbanan Batrai, never mentioned what's asur. So we'll assume that everything's asur, even b'di'evit. Batrai sabri, nasa v'natan asur. Even b'di'evit, if you transact it, it'll be asur. V'ibaytema, another possibility, what the difference between them is, the Shmuel Yikibinayu. The loch of Shmuel is the difference between them. What's the loch of Shmuel? The Amar Shmuel, b'gula'a, outside of Eretz Yisrael, b'chutz la'aretz, en asur, ela yom eidam. The day that's Asur is only the Yom Eidam, the holiday itself. Why is it only Asur, the holiday itself? So Rashi brings down two possibilities. One is, that today, or in the Chutz La'aretz, they're not so tied to the Obedat Kochavim, therefore they don't think about it so much in advance. So the holiday itself, yes, that's problematic. But beforehand, we're not going to worry about it. Also, Rashi says, Mistafin Yom Minayhu, that we're embarrassed. It's too much. We can't handle. We're interacting. We're living amongst them. We can't handle the situation if we make it that it's Asur for so much time in advance. So therefore, we're just going to ask her the day itself or the holiday itself. So that Din of Shmuel. Tanakama Yitlu de Shmuel. Tanakama has the Din of Shmuel. So these 3 days only apply in Eretz Yisrael, or not today or currently. Whereas the Rabbanan Batrai say, Yitlu de Shmuel. They say that there's no Din of Shmuel, and there's always 3 days beforehand. Now, why are we machmir like the Rabbanan say the Rabbanan machmir, the Tanakama is the kula? There's no indication which opinion they hold or how they hold of Shmuel. So over here, Rashi brings us down or tells us that whenever you have someone an additional time at the end, he's always listafui. He's always coming litfui atu. He's always coming to add something. The later time is always adding something. So here, the Chachamim have to be adding something. They have to be machmir or oser, something that the Tanakama didn't say. Otherwise, there's no reason to bring them down. So therefore, in this one and the subsequent answer we're going to give, we're going to say that the Chachamim were the machmirim, because they assign the Tanakama the base opinion, and then the Chachamim must be adding something, so they must be oser. So therefore, we said the Tanakama holds of the Din of Shmuel, and Rabbanan Batrai, the Chachamim do not hold of the Din of Shmuel. The Nochum Amadai is the difference between them. What is Nochum Amadai? The Tanya Nochane Omer, Inu Asir El Yom Echad Lifnei Dehem. But they had an opinion that wasn't 3 days beforehand, but rather only 1 day beforehand. So Tanakama let lay do Nochum Amadai. The Tanakama doesn't hold of Nochum Amadai. Rabbanan Batrai, Yidlu the Nochum Amadai, because they don't enumerate a number of days. The Tanakama at least mentions days. He says 3 days beforehand. But here, they have no chushban, they have no cheshbon about what was done here, so we'll assume that they're being machmir. They're being machmir, then they'll hold like Nachum Amadai, which is 1 day. So now the Gemara has Gufa. Now the Gemara, just like before it did with Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, brought down a whole bunch of memrod from Yeshua ben Karcha, so too the Gemara here is going to bring down a number of memrod from Nachum Amadai. So he says, Gufa, Nachum Amadai Omer, Inu Asur, Elo Yom Echad Lifnei Dehem. Amrulo, they responded him, Nishtaka Davar Velo Nemar. Forget this, throw this out, that was never said. I says, wait, we just said that the Rabbanan, or at least the one suggestion here, was that the Rabbanan in the Mishnah are holding like Nachum Amadai. I says, Man Hachamim, Nachum Amadayu. That's what we're saying. The Hachamim in the Mishnah are going to be the position of Nachum Amadai, and therefore we don't hold of them. That's not true. Tanya Yidoch, we have another brisa. Nachum Amadai Omer, Mochrim Lahen Sus, Zachar V'Zakein B'Milchama. That you're allowed to sell a horse to the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. You're allowed to sell him one that is, the way Rashi reads, it seems to be it has to be a male, old male in a war. Since this is an unusual case, and each of these items are problematic, what's the problem here? There are two possibilities of problem of selling a behemah to a Oved of Avodah Zarah. One is Klei Zayin, that they use it for war, and therefore it's a problem of Nifnei Yiver, that you're providing them with weapons or war materials by providing them the horse. The other possibility is in Shabbos. We have a din in Shabbos that you can't sell a behemah gassah because we're afraid you're going to lend it to him or you're going to rent it to him, and then you have a problem because your behemah is nitztave in Shvitat HaShabbos. He has to keep Shabbos. And yet, if you lend it to him or you rent it to him, then they're going to be using your animal on Shabbos. So we don't say don't sell it to them because you might come to rent it or lend it out to them. So Rashi says that what Rechum HaMadai comes, it says we solve the problem. Why? Because it's a milta. Number one, it's a milta do shchicha. Something that's not a common case. So we're not worried that if you sell this, you're going to sell other behemoth, or you're going to interact with them in another case, because this is an unusual case, both because of the characteristics of the animal, that it's a zachar zakein, and number two, it's at the time of war. So two of those items are unusual, therefore we don't worry about you extrapolating and allowing you to sell in other instances. The other thing is that you're selling them a zakein, and you're selling them a zachar. Both of these are not necessarily useful in a war. We're going to see in a second that Tosfos tells us why these individuals, why these things are not useful in the war. So Rashi, on the one hand, seems to think that it's one description of a single horse, which is that it's a susachar zakein in the time of milchama. That's all in one description. Tosfos, on the other hand, brings down two opinions. One is the Rabbi Yochanan, who says that each of these items is separate. Zachar, you can sell them in the war, because in general, zachar is not good for wartime, because he throws off his rider and he usually kills the person who's riding him. So therefore, we don't worry about it. Zakein is also not good, because he'll collapse during the war and end up killing his rider. So he's also not beneficial for the war. So that's why it's, each of these items is milo milo. It's one by one, meaning either a zachar or a zakein. Right? So each of those are permitted or permissible during the milchama. It doesn't have to be a zachar and a zakein. He also quotes the opinion of what seems to be Rabbi Avraham or Rabbi Elazar ben Beham, that another one of the Balei Tosfot who wanted to suggest that each one of these is a chiddush, that he's zakein. You can sell him a zakein, even though generally we don't allow you to sell a zakein. We'll see in a second, because we don't allow you to sell an animal who will do avoda on Shabbos. So yet, a zakein is not useful for riding anymore, and he would do avoda, nevertheless we let you sell it. And zakhar is also a chiddush over here, because even though a zakhar might be good for wartime, is the opposite opinion over here. Nevertheless, and we should have asked it because he's a male and he's stronger and bigger, should have asked it. Nevertheless, we say it's mutar to sell for the war. But again, they say mili mili. That's the opinion of Nachama Madai. So again, the response of the Gemara is, Amar lo nishtaka v'davar v'no mer. Forget this, throw it out. This was never said. There is no such opinion. Wait, we do have an opinion like this of Ben Betera. That's not. We have a Mishnah. Ben Betera matir besus. Ben Betera allows, by a sus, allows you to sell. What is that? We're talking about Shabbos. Again, we said before, you're not allowed to sell behemot gasot, you're not allowed to sell animals, large animals, to a Oved, Avodah Zarah, or Oved Chachavim, because we're afraid then you're going to come to lend it to them or rent it to them. And in that instance, there'll be a violation of your behemoth being Shvitat HaShabbat. So why, Rabbi Matera says the exception that is a horse. You're allowed to sell a horse. Why? What's the ikar? What's the primary usage of a horse? The primary usage of a horse is for riding on. Riding on is only an Isur Shvot, an Isur Derabonon, not an Isur Doraita, because a Chaynos at Matzmah, generally a person carries his own weight, and therefore riding on the animal is only an Isur Derabonon. If it's an Isur Derabonon, right, then we're not going to worry about it, because even if you sell it, and you have a gzeirah, that maybe they'll come and lend it out or rent it out, but even if they do that, and they use your animal, it's only a violation of derabonah. Now you end up with their derabonah, we're not going to answer it. So you see that Ben Betera says you're allowed to sell in certain circumstances, you're allowed to sell the sus. So Gemara says, no, Ben Betera doesn't maflik ben zcharim le nekevot. He doesn't differentiate between males and females, zakein and lo zakein. He never makes such a differentiation. He just says any horse can be sold. So that means, the fact that Nachum Madai differentiates between male and female means that he's going with the Chachamim, and the Chachamim, the restriction against selling animals because of, we're afraid, Klei Zayin, they're going to use it in wartime, and that would be inappropriate to sell it to them for weapons or for usage as part of their army. And so since he differentiates between Zecharim and Kevod, he's clearly talking about war or an issue of war, then he's Kevod Rabbanon Sfirli. And if he's talking about the Rabbanon is Taka Davar, according to Rabbanon, nobody ever said such a thing. There's no anybody else with such an opinion that would say that you have ability to sell a horse, no matter what the characteristics are, to a Oved Avodah Zarah. Zemara says, next case of Nachum HaMadai, Tanya, Nachum HaMadai Omer, Hashevet. Hashevet is, as Rashi brings down, some sort of spice or herb. He says, it's Yerach Shel Tavlin, Shekorin Iver, Ubelashon Romi, Anitu, I've seen that it was called Dill. Over here, mit aser, then you take masro to offer it from the zera, from its seeds, v'yerek, the vegetable that grows, v'zirin, and the stems. So, amalo nishtaka davar v'no nomer, throw it out. Forget that. It has no bearing. We never heard anybody who said it. Atana says anything like that. Vayika, Rabbi Eliezer, the Kaika Batei. We do have an opinion, Rabbi Eliezer, who says exactly that. It's none. We have a Mishnah in Masorot that says, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Shevet, Mit Eseret, Zerah, V'Yerek, V'Zirin. Exactly what Nachum HaMadai says. Omer says, no, Hatam, Midiganunito. That's not even in the garden. That's talking about something that you plant in your vegetable garden. There, yes, Rabbi Elazar says this. So, but Rabbi Nachman Vadai was making a general statement about dill, about the shevet, which means that anywhere, even if it's growing in the wild, you would be mafrish masrot from all of those items. And that's not true. Because when it grows in the gina, then it's roi lechol zera, yerek, and zirin, and then you have to be mitaser. But that which grows in the sadot, they don't eat the vegetation, ela zera kein chadal. They only use the seed like mustard. And because of that, we don't say that you maser all of these items. Although Nachman Vadai made a general statement that applies to all these things, and therefore we reject it. Okay, we'll stop over here and we'll continue with the sugi, which goes all the way through to the Mishnah on tomorrow's daf.